Hi, I'm Tobias Haberkorn, and you're listening to Berlin Review. This winter, Berlin Review published a diptych on Vincenzo Lutronico's novel Perfection, which was originally published in Italian in 2022, but got quite a bit of buzz last year after its English translation was shortlisted for the 2025 Booker Prize. If you haven't read it, the book follows a millennial couple who moves to Berlin around 2010. They rent an Altbau apartment, they attend galleries, they go to demos and clubs, they work remotely, they obsess about Danish furniture, they sublet their apartment, travel, and return. And through all of this, they are curating a life that's better than where they came from, or at least one that looks that way on Instagram. The book has been praised, but also intensely disliked. One of the sharpest responses came from one of our contributors, the Italian-British writer Liana Mark, who wrote about Perfection in our January online edition. Liana's essay, Better Living Through Self-Curation, goes beyond the conversation about whether the book is triggering, to use a word that's circulated a lot, and asks what it means to perform and market authenticity, especially in a literary world that rewards stories that are easy to package and export. With this episode, we wanted to try something new. You'll get to hear Liana read her essay in full and in her own voice. Enjoy the reading.
Better Living Through Self-Curation. Many book reviews today begin with an I. The scene is set through a personal anecdote, evoking an atmosphere of chatty intimacy. The reviewer's experience will eventually seed the stage to the discussion of a recently published book that grapples with a similar theme or experience. This will furnish the review with its focus, but it's the critic's familiarity with the topic, established in the personal opener, that will structure the piece and lend it authenticity. Seduced by the confessional register, the reader will find themselves immersed in the overlaps between a book and a life. Embedded in the milieu of Vincenzo Lutronico's novel Perfection, I could start this piece with some anecdotes from my own early days as an expat in Berlin. I could describe my inability to discern the East from the West, or the registered delivery complaints addressed to me by neighbours, bemoaning the decibel levels of my speaking voice and footfall. Alternatively, I could share the low-stakes dissonance of my heritage. Italian, like Lutronico and, presumably, his Southern European protagonists, Anna and Tom, but also British and Anglophone, like the hegemonic cultural market that has ratified, with this year's translation and International Booker shortlisting, Lutronico's international relevance as a writer. Finally, I could situate the novel's engagement with a generational crisis of meaning in my own millennial delays in adulting. Chains of iterative disillusionment and nostalgia for a more wholesome pre-social media world. More than my degrees in literature or childhood spent writing instead of socialising, the above would attest to the authority of my perspective. Of course, my own privileged struggles as a 30-something expat, precariously underemployed in embattled literature departments that I commute to via dysfunctional rail networks from a rent-protected apartment in Berlin, play their part in my interest in Perfection, and explain why I, like many, found it triggering. But sustained engagement with the book and its journey, from Bompiani via Fitzcarraldo in New York Review Books, to the International Booker shortlist, invites critical reflection on the commerce of authenticity in today's literary markets, in which these kinds of confessional openers participate. At the same time, Lutronico's success suggests, I think, that you can critique something and get away with buying into it, as long as you do so winkingly. Heralded as the definitive representation of millennial angst, Perfection tells the story of a couple's move from an unnamed Southern European country to Berlin in the early 2000s. Propelling them is the search for a more meaningful life, beyond the strictures of what is pithily described as another generation script, or what boomer parents expect should come easily to their kids. This leads them from Berlin to an unnamed region of their country of origin, via Lisbon and Sicily, in a self-perpetuating loop of projection, idealization, and disillusionment that at the book's conclusion only looks set to continue. The narrative voice spares no one, but it's the residual empathy with the protagonist's delusions that makes its ruthlessness all the more effective. Outlining Anna's and Tom's heavily curated existence across what turn out to be largely interchangeable locales, it charts the protagonist's increasingly desperate struggle to come to terms with the gap between reality and its images, the titular realm of mostly online perfection. Updating Georges Perec's Les Choses and borrowing from it a motto and the use of the third person plural, the novel zeroes in on the couple as the smallest socially recognised unit of collective existence. The heterosexual dyad becomes a case study for the gratifying conformity of generational groupthink, reassuring those who were either treading or had trod the same path that it was the right one. To this end, Latronico's They acts as a narrative counterpart to Berlin's urban sprawl, inviting a wide range of people to recognise themselves in it. The abundance and precision of material references, from the M29 bus to the Biergarten on Paul-Linke-Ufer, only augments the generic nature of the narrative, which is both about Berlin and largely independent of it. Latronico's focus is not on localised, fictional characters, but on the stylised backdrop to their lives, which is as intimate and individual as algorithmic profiling, and thus broadly relatable. Through a clinical reconstruction of this backdrop's texture, detail, and specific forms of unreality, the book sheds indirect light on what takes place against it, the identical struggle for a different life, of which Berlin, at least for millennials, remains the urban correlative. The couple's struggle against entropic banality spans their Scandi minimalist interior design, art world adjacent social life, and theoretical bi-curiosity. Undergirding it all is the pursuit of a collective identity able to lend substance to their own. Amid the pageantry of gallery openings, freelance work, and attempts at political activism, perfection appears within reach, until the cruise ship of expat life hits a range of icebergs that it had, of course, failed to anticipate. Flocking to Berlin is suddenly a new type of creative. Fewer aspiring artists from Greece and more interaction designers from Portland, bringing not only organic samosas and vapes loaded with CBD, but also bedbugs, rising rents, and a housing shortage. Berlin's poor but sexy lifestyle becomes harder to sustain, particularly for the non-native Anglophones among the expats, for whom opportunities are scarcer, revealing a lack of futurity that had previously gone unnoticed. Beneath the mirage of a European hub of international creatives, capable of transcending the standardizing forces of capital, lurk Anglophone cultural hegemony and the magnetic field of Silicon Valley. Over time, many first-wave expats go home. Some have children and disappear. Others retrain as user experience architects or SEO ninjas, giving in to the pull of company health insurance and pension plans. In familiar spaces, a younger crowd, fresh out of Goldsmiths or Bard, affords Anna and Tom a new sense of exclusion. As their life grows flatter and hard, their quest for authenticity becomes increasingly dogged and desperate. What fuels the couple's quest is a generationally specific void, hence perfection status as a millennial novel. Marked by the loss of a dial-up internet world that in retrospect feels impossibly vivid, the millennial search for meaning in its attempt to reconnect with the enchantment of an idealised offline past is as anachronistic as it is Sisyphean. Believe me, I've tried everything. It's this lost authenticity that haunts Latronico's characters and arguably many of his readers. Latronico's project, however, isn't merely nostalgic, and perfection is, I think, more than the map of millennial angst it has been celebrated as. Rather, it looks beyond the experience of coming of age a little too late and into a disenchanted world, casting its gaze instead at the commercial value of authenticity in today's cultural marketplace. For me, this is the book's most interesting critique, and a tragically ironic one, since the story of its own success at once avers and rests on the dynamics that it eloquently exposes. Authenticity is a ubiquitous cultural asset today, which derives first and foremost from a performative disclosure of the real, oneself, truth, or trauma, or the experiences that can vouch for one's embodied knowledge. In this instance, I'm credible in my engagement with Latronico by virtue of all the ways I've told you in which I am like him and his characters. This is necessary but not sufficient. To be recognised as valuably authentic, The perform disclosure must come with a high degree of legibility. It must ensure frictionless access through careful curation to that same ostensibly unmediated reel. Anna and Tom are in many ways narrative avatars of this kind of authenticity effect. Radiating an undefined Southern European exoticism, a welcome contribution to the collective expat identity, everything down to their very names, presumably Tom is short for Tommaso, has been reconfigured for the easy access of an imagined anglicised interlocutor. Latronico has a talent for biting brevity, and in one of his more fulminant aphorisms, sacrificed somewhat in Sophie Hughes's more idiomatic translation, he puts his finger on this paradoxical process. The couple are confident that they are pursuing in Berlin la libertà di essere se stessi, cioè di inventarsi, cioè di essere diversi da se stessi. Or the freedom to be themselves, which means the freedom to reinvent themselves, which means the freedom to be different from themselves. The desire for authenticity is indistinguishable from performative self-curation. It involves repackaging one's sense of self for a foreign audience and within predetermined guidelines. The real-life equivalent of the Helvetica Neue Light stencils informing the couple's designs. The template alone, however, cannot sell without the authenticating effect of the individual's interactions with it. In order to garner interest from prospective tenants, Anna and Tom's apartment, a granular description of which, in the form of an Airbnb advert, occupies the first chapter of the book, must display not only a generically legible style, urban bourgeois minimalism, but also project the authenticating effect of vicarious belonging. To become more than a hotel, a unique home away from home, as is the company's promise, it must be someone's home to start with. It must offer an aestheticised glimpse of the idea of someone else's real life, minus the herpes cream. Ironically, very similar dynamics undergird Perfection's book market success. By Latronico's own admission, in a conversation with American expat, author, and literary critic Lauren Euler, I attended at Berlin's Haus der Kultur und der Welt in June of this year, the project was fueled by his desire to write a story that was and would be recognised as authentic to him, without it being about pizza-munching youths in some coastal region of what Germans often refer to as an Urlaubsland. Through the mediation of Pirek's things-based narration, the meticulously descriptive text born out of this desire reads like a millennial expat take on the genre of collective autofiction, practiced most famously by Annie Ernaux in The Years. Its narrative, in other words, feels just as lived in as Anna and Tom's home-come Airbnb, and similarly packaged for a cosmopolitan Anglophone audience. While this is undeniably the case in its Fitzcarraldo and New York Review books, English language editions, signs of this are present already in the original. Perfection fuses the authenticity of its author's Southern European experience with the accessibility of not only a sleek and highly idiomatic translation, as was the case with Elena Ferrante's novels, but of writing that in its very inception squeezes itself into an international mould. It's more than a figure of speech to say that Latronico's Italian is haunted by its future English translation. As the author recounted at Hakavi, his editorial process involved, in parts, a self-translation into English, followed by a back-translation into Italian, to prune off the Baroque excesses of Latinate syntax. As a result, like Tom's abbreviated name, Latronico's Italian prose evokes the shortcuts and oddities of expat speak. It's productively constrained by its own linguistic equivalent of the Helvetica Neue-like stencils, the rhythms and idioms of international English. Sforzandosi di tenere alti gli spiriti, spendere l'estate, in ways that will not only feel familiar to many participants in the Italian brain drain, but also, and from a market perspective more importantly, guarantee the book's International Booker Prize worthiness. As a literary market product, Perfection bespeaks Latronico's authorial desire to be himself, which means to reinvent himself, which means to be different from himself, while skewering the same desire in its characters. Like the elusive authenticity at its heart, the book both displays its author's truth and packages that truth accessibly for people all over the world. Which means, as the novel itself caustically reminds us, and as is confirmed by its shortlist-induced media coverage and reception, from east and west coasts of the US, Berlin and London. This irony in no way detracts from the novel's insight and acumen. Rather, it acts like a Trojan horse to doubly expose the reader and their values. We smirk at a community for whom Barack Obama's speeches and high school shootings feel far more vivid than the laws passed for just a few Uber stations away, or the refugees drowning 2 hours' flight south. And yet, if we're reading Perfection following its English language translation and shortlist success, we're likely part of and dependent on that same community. And even if we're not, the success of Perfection certainly is, as is, of course, this review. This was brought home with iconic clarity during the author's conversation with Lauren Euler at the Hakavir, a centre for the showcasing and discussion of contemporary arts from across the globe. From its rooftop, in the eclectic aftermath of a storm, the sunset over the River Spree on that June evening was nothing short of perfection. As Latronico exposed the paradoxes and latent hierarchies of the expat dream with the bite of someone who has spent a decade mulling over them, his own success, framed against Berlin's eclectic skyline and celebrated in precise, if variously accented, Englishes, evoked that same mirage of a truly multicultural creative hub that, as savvy readers of Perfection, we were gathered to dismiss. No wonder it's triggering.
You can read Liana Mark's Better Living Through Self-Curation, along with a companion piece by Cesare Sinati at blnreview.de. If you enjoyed this reading, please consider supporting our work with a subscription. It starts at just €5 a month and gives you access to our entire archive of essays and reviews, all of our audio versions, and of course, the new writing that appears continuously at blnreview.de. Our audio producer is Caitlin Roberts. My name is Tobias Haberkorn, editor of Berlin Review. Thanks for listening.